Hey, it's Brian Hayes. So last year, my neighbor forgot to get their eaves cleaned. And let's just say the leak in their basement will make sure that doesn't happen again. Not going to happen to me, though. It's fall, and that means it's Jiffy time. Booking my eaves cleaning and yard cleanup took all of 30 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Thanks to Jiffy, I say bring it on fall. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable, home maintenance.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We're waiting for brand partnership to reach out. We're looking for deals. We're looking for endorsements. Because I don't think anyone can pump the tires of a product like the three of us can. So we'll see what comes of it.
Someone just sent a note saying there's like a lightning rod in the product with Drew Brees, and that's why there was
fair.
It's goofy.
Yeah. There's a backstory. Like I said. There's a backstory.
It would be like you accepting $250,000 and saying the line that I just said in the previous hour.
Right. Yes. Which, again,
but I don't understand. I crap myself on the way to my car. What was the line? It was like,
I'm not saying it again, but it's just like, it's just, you have creative control and you would look at that script and say, I'm not doing that.
I love how in the 6 p.m. hour you have more integrity. You will not say that line again.
No, that's for the 5 o'clock hour for our friends in the car.
It's dinner hour now. We wouldn't possibly, say what we just said 5 minutes ago.
Say every time I walk to my car, I take a dump in my pants.
What an endorsement for a product.
See, that's...
I'm Brian Hayes, and every time I walk to my car, I take a dump in my pants. Where's my cash?
But I wear these babies, and I'm good.
But
I'm
telling you, I'm just saying,
like, that's the type of advertising and brand advertising that people, it's refreshing. It's honest. Like, people are like, that's the reality of it.
That's a harsher version of Windows Up Darts as well.
Oh, man.
It really
what
is.
A scene you could have in that car. Oh,
we got to get back to
could
work.
Could you imagine being in that car for a long road trip, too? Traffic jams. Oh,
way above Windows Up Darts.
Honestly, you're going somewhere.
That's a nuclear option. Yeah,
yes,
it's not
that's
good.
A nuclear option. That's and if you subject another human to it, you should be behind bars for a long time. All right, Jack Armstrong will join us here in just a moment. And we'll ask Jack what he expects out of the Raptors tonight. Going into Brooklyn, we saw Brooklyn up here about a week ago. Kyrie Irving had himself a great night. Nets ended up beating the Raps. And Raptors have had an up-and-down year. You know, like outside of Boston, Milwaukee in the East, Cleveland's been somewhat consistent. It's been a topsy-turvy season, for a lot of teams in the East. And the Raptors, it's still only – you're talking 20 games into the season, give or take – but you got to get into that top six, right? Like, you want to avoid the play-in run. You don't want anything to do with that play-in. And as of now, they're on the outside looking in. In fact, they'd be playing the Brooklyn Nets in the 7-8 seed game at home. So, again, there's a lot of runway here. We're talking 61 more games before the dust settles. But
I'd like to see a response. They didn't
They really played poorly the other night. And Scotty Barnes has been the story of the week, I would say, coming off the bench, and then he was starting in New Orleans. I thought he had a pretty terrible game, quite frankly. The stat line was awful. I didn't think he brought a lot of energy on either side of the court. And listen, these are the bumps of being a pro athlete. This is where it's at with Scotty Barnes.
A blip on the screen, definitely. You didn't want to see that as the response, Hayes. Like, you don't often say, you've never spoken about Scotty Barnes in his brief career like that. We're talking a year and a bit, and you've always said that guy was dominant, both sides of the ball. To say pretty terrible, that's not a response you're looking for redemption for the kid from coming off the bench.
Right, and got what he wanted. Nick Nurse, little jab, you're off the bench, you didn't like it, here
you
go.
And he didn't respond.
No. And, I haven't seen what the starting five will look like tonight. I would think you go back with him. I think you give him listen, he's a guy you believe in. It's not like this is some existential issue that they're dealing with. He's had ups and downs, like the team. The team's a game above 500. That's kind of the season Scotty Barnes has had. Injuries.
Right.
Wasn't there for camp the whole time. And, you know, his numbers are down. His minutes are down. His stats are down. And that's a sophomore slump, man. That's the way it goes in pro sports. So catch up with Jack here in a moment, get his take on that. And always talking about the Nets. I mean, we reference them all the time as – just kind of a soap opera. And I would say it looks as if they've responded since Steve Nash moved on. Like, they're above 500 themselves. And when Nash was there, it was just a mess.
Right.
You know? So, you know, we discussed that ourselves. Like, will we see Steve Nash again? Is he going to coach again in the NBA? I'm not sure, man. If team you leave was a tire fire, and then they kind of iron some things out right when you leave, generally not the best look. And I think that was his reputation. X's and O's, not his strong suit. Raptors, again, in Brooklyn, playing the Nets tonight. Here's our Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
Good, guys. Can I make an announcement? I will never coach again, okay? That's just on the record. It's been 25 years. I don't think anyone's calling anytime soon.
Okay. So this is like an official retirement? Is that the announcement that's happening on our show? We appreciate that if you're giving it to us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when I retire from this crazy gig, maybe when I'm in my 70s and I'll coach like, you know, biddy ball or something like that. That'll be the extent of my coaching. But no more of the big stuff. Absolutely. It's been 25 years and I have no intention of going back. So, yeah. Steve Nash, you have the chair in front of me. Go for it.
Yeah, well, there it is. I mean, we'll see what – I don't know if we're going to see Steve resurface anytime soon. But we've been talking a lot about Nick Nurse and some of his coaching decisions this week. I think Scotty Barnes has kind of been the topic of discussion for us, Jack. Coming off the bench, he's reinserted into the starting five in New Orleans. I thought he had a poor night. The whole team was pretty awful. What do you expect tonight out of Scotty, and what do you kind of make of the messaging that Nurse has been sending this week?
Well, you know, look, you nailed it. I mean, he really struggled, as the whole team did on Wednesday night in New Orleans. So we're all entitled to some mulligans now and then. I know, Old Dog, you don't give any on the course, I've been told. Very competitive. I love it. But nonetheless, he needs to pick it up, no doubt. He didn't play well Wednesday night. I thought he played well coming off the bench. Monday night against Cleveland, and he's done that in the past, obviously, when he was in college at Florida State. That, you know, they threw him in the deep end a year ago, and he did a great job for them. And, you know, after 21 games, obviously he's missed a few. He's had some, you know, nicks and knacks with ankle and knee and all that. You know, it's been a spotty, you know, a little bit inconsistent second year. And nonetheless, you know, people ask me, like, who does he remind you of in your Raptor career? And obviously I've been with the Raptors broadcasting games for 25 years. He reminds me kind of the most probably of a Tracy McGrady. So I look at it from the eyes and the standpoint of thinking of Tracy when he was young. And, you know, just I'm a little more patient with this than a lot of fans are, maybe. Because if you look at Tracy McGrady's first 3 years in the NBA, all you got to do is Google it. I think Scotty Barnes is doing just fine. And by the way, Tracy McGrady ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty good for him.
He also won scoring titles. Like, is that what you see? Like,
no.
What in Tracy McGrady do you see in Scotty Barnes?
I see the versatility defensively, the playmaking, the ball handling, the passing. The craftiness, just the knack, a little bit unorthodox, you know, ability to score around the basket. I haven't seen that yet in terms of being a guy that can really go and get you 30 a night. No, I don't see that yet. But who's to say he doesn't, you know, put that time in and develop that? I'm trying to think of 25 years of Raptor plays and which guy kind of I compare him to a little, and again, not dead on, is Tracy. And I look at Tracy, had a lot of struggles his first few years. And to me, you know, obviously Tracy came right out of high school, whereas Scotty had a year in college at Florida State. But, you know, to me, I just think that here's my thing. The expectations for him going into this season were unrealistic. I had people coming up to me all summer. I wouldn't trade Scotty Barnes head to head straight up for Kevin Durant. And I'm going, hold on a minute here. Now you can talk all you want about salary cap and matching dollars and, you know, cap, you know, all the different ramifications that come with making a trade like that. But when you say you're putting Scotty Barnes in the same category as Kevin Durant and saying one for one, you wouldn't trade that guy. I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. You got to slow down on your expectations for this kid. Kevin Durant's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy's big time. And, you know, I think Scotty Barnes has a chance to have a tremendous long-term professional career. But it's a long, long way to go. And I think too often with social media and instantaneous gratification and the hype machine, we put way too much on kids. So I just want to see him night in, night out, coming out and balling, playing hard, competing, trying to be more aggressive with his back to the basket, trying to be assertive attacking the basket, playing at the rim a little bit more, getting to the free throw line, punishing people with his size and his skill, and really getting after people defensively and playing with intensity. And if he does those things, I kind of think some really cool things are going to happen for him. I think sometimes he tries to ease his way into games a little bit, and you know, and then it's hard to get that rhythm going. And the other thing is, the guy had a really good freshman year, his rookie year. He was the rookie of the year. People are prepared for him. They're gunning for him. They're ready for him. It's not, a lot of these younger players want to make their mark against him. So it's a different dynamic than what he dealt with 12 months ago.
Jack, what's the most important element for Nick Nurse in the handling of Scotty right now? You've seen every scenario in the game, whether as a coach or a broadcaster. Just moving forward, like if it was all mixed in a bowl of ingredients, what's the most important one for Nick in this handling of him?
Well, you two guys know this as former players. I think it's, you know, communication is paramount. Being an open book, being straight, being authentic, being real. Telling people what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear, giving good life lessons, good basketball lessons, and preaching the most important thing that makes a difference in a career, and that is habits. You know, habits, all about day-to-day commitment to habits and the focus, and that whatever you did two nights ago doesn't mean a blessed thing now. It's about tonight. And are you lacing them up tight, and are you ready to go? And really good players that have a long-term career, there's a level of consistency, and that consistency comes from really good habits and preparation and attention to detail and understanding how hard it is night in, night out to win a professional basketball game, how hard it is night in, night out to be a really good player, because other people are preparing to stop you. And I think these are all really, again, fans don't like it, but I think this stuff is really good because that's what makes you a player. You go through this stuff, you fail, you have some challenges, and now you got to look in the mirror and challenge yourself and grow and mature and get better. And I think he's in a great environment for that to happen. All he's got to do is look at Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, and Chris Boucher, four guys who've been in their program for quite a while, and understand that, hey, man, if I follow that script, I'll get through the turbulence, and the ship will come into calm waters, and I'll start to play at the level I'm capable of playing at.
Thanks for saying that, Jack, because there's certain circumstances that Jamie and myself, we have to let Brian Hayes know that there's some elements of being a professional athlete that he has no idea about, and we need to kind of set him straight. So thank you.
Well, you know, I love that. And at the same time, I don't know either, because I've never been one. And I don't try to come off as someone. I'm just giving you my opinion as someone who's been a Division I head coach and who's been fortunate enough to have a really cool seat for 25 years calling NBA games and being
Jack,
around.
Jack, we thought you were a former player. That's the only reason we have you on.
I am not. I was a lousy player. I was a hack.
Okay.
But I'm willing to admit it. Some guys aren't. But, you know, to me, I just, it's habits, you know, in any walk of life, it's habits. And, it's just maturing and, you know, a lot of stuff gets thrown at these young professional players, not only in our sport, but in the NHL and NFL and Major League Baseball, you name it. And people anoint these guys and make them sound like they're the second coming. And like, hey, look, I was here with Vince Carter. And Vince Carter had a great career, but he wasn't Michael Jordan. But the fact that he went to North Carolina, everyone wanted him to be Michael Jordan. And he wasn't, and he never will be. But that doesn't mean he didn't have a great career and he's not a terrific player. It just, I think sometimes the cart gets way too far ahead of the horse.
Jack, you and I were two peas in a pod, man. We see the game. We don't need to be former athletes. We know what's up. We know what we're watching here. And I'm curious what you've seen out of Pascal Siakam since his return.
I love it. You know, his start this season, the few games that he's played so far, I love it. He sees everything on the floor, and he has seen everything on the floor. He is at that point now in his career where he, you know, what's the old line, plan your work your plan. He knows what he's doing out there. There's an MO. He has an approach to how he's going to get his game off that night. And based upon coverages, matchups, who are the other four guys on the floor with him, their strengths, their weaknesses, scouting report, tendencies, you name it. He's processing at a very high level. And the thing about him is he's a guy that when he has the ball in the middle of the floor, it's not like a point guard guarding him. Usually it's a four or five man that's going, what am I doing 70 feet from the basket trying to keep this dude in front of me? And he's like Usain Bolt going from end line to end line. He's so fast. He's just tough to keep in front of you. And then when he gets downhill and he gets to that second, third guy, he's making everyone better. So I really like what I'm seeing. He's become that quintessential classic point forward. And, you know, again, if you get positive shooting performances around him, he becomes that much more impactful, and he's that much harder to guard because you got to guard him more straight up one-on-one. So I really like what I'm seeing. And look, hey, remember he had a rough, choppy stretch just not too long ago in Tampa and all that, and right. He came out of it. And that's my point is he had the same coach in Nick Nurse and the same executive staff that he has now, that Scotty Barnes has. So I feel very confident that Scotty Barnes will get through this turbulence. It's, you know, it's all part of that's the, you know, these guys are developing before our eyes. You know, you're not getting guys that go to college for 4 years anymore, and they come out of Duke or North Carolina and they played in the same system, and now they're so polished. They're coming to the pro level, and there's so much teaching and coaching going on when they're at this level. And there's going to be slip ups. There's going to be one step back, two steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, but it's about hanging in there with these guys.
With Jack Armstrong, we got the Raptors in Brooklyn tonight. And we want to point out Jack's Christmas album is available now on Spotify or everywhere else you might find your music. And it could be a party in Brooklyn tonight, but it's going to be nothing like the Shaker on December 6th, next Tuesday. Jack's holiday sing-along concert at Danforth Music Hall on December 6th, where all of the proceeds will benefit MLSE Foundation and Special Olympics Canada. Tickets available on Ticketmaster. What are you getting up on the mic? Are you singing? What's the plan here, Jack?
Absolutely. I mean, I've already had a few rehearsals. I got another rehearsal on Monday morning before I do the Raptor game, and I'm performing Tuesday night. So,
nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be performing on stage at the Danforth Music Hall Tuesday night. So I am excited about it. I'm a little nervous. You know, it's a little different. You know, I'm used to just when the red light comes on, I'm comfortable with that, talking basketball. This is a whole different deal. But, no, the album's going really well, and it's out in vinyl as well for you old school types that have record players. People love – there's so many people out there that are vinyl aficionados. They love – records, so that's gone really well, and we're excited, and the tickets have gone great, and we're excited about it. So yes, I will be up there singing and performing, and I'm really, really excited about it.
Awesome. Jack's holiday sing-along concert at the Danforth Music Hall Tuesday, December 6th. Again, tickets available right now on Ticketmaster. Good luck with that, and enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Hey guys, one last thing. You know, you talk about the, you know, the professional athlete thing and all that. I had a guy say to me one time, "Well, you know, you didn't play in the pros," and I'm like, "I understand that, but I'm not a chef either. But if I go to a restaurant and the food sucks, I don't need to be a chef to know that the food sucks."
That's right.
So there are times when, you know, you get the ex-player that says to you, "Well, you don't know because you never laced it up on the ice or whatever." And I say, "Well, yeah, but I still know what bad hockey is or what bad football is or what bad basketball or bad baseball is."
That's right.
It doesn't take a genius to see that.
That's
and by
right.
the way, you know what was good football last night? The Buffalo Bills kicking tail.
We're out of time, Jack. We're out of time.
See ya.
See ya. There he is, Jack Armstrong, singing. What is he singing? Christmas carols.
Yeah.
That'll be an absolutely incredible show on Tuesday.
I would love to. I think I'm working or else I would go. Awesome.
Yeah, Danforth Musical, that's a great spot too, man. They get some great acts down there. Jack's going to be having the roof popping Tuesday, so check that out. And you can find tickets again on Ticketmaster. All right, we caught up with John Cooper earlier. We'll revisit that conversation. Al's brother will sneak in. We'll make our picks. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel, still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Revisit our chat with John Cooper. It's always great to catch up with John Cooper. We're just sneaking a fourth guy in, man. It's throwing me off. Like, Al's brother's just on the screen. He's just there.
Yeah.
And very comfortable. How you doing, Al's brother?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing on a Friday?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. I got to be honest. I'm just doing all right. I mean, I'm having a tough time. You guys are having a party.
Yeah,
you guys are winning games.
But there was nothing you could do last night, Brian. It was their choice.
Yeah.
And that was a layup. Like, as much as we like to shine it up, and I love Bill Belichick, it was a layup.
Talk about it as a layup. Yesterday, they were like, "Oh, never know, Belichick." And now it was a layup. They don't give us any
credit. And I'll say this.
Easiest
I'll say this too, Doodles. You see the record down below there? 19 times he could have done something, and he didn't, and took the L for it. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
No, that's valid. Listen, I got to own it, man. I got to own this little cooler I'm on.
Not seeing the board yet.
I'm not seeing the board. And I have to be honest, the games that I'm facing this weekend, not loving the games. Not loving the
They're
games.
They're tough.
The first one we're playing, and it's my game, is Titans. I'm seeing they're getting 4.5. So they're getting 4.5. In Philly. So the Eagles are at home, and the Eagles are laying 4.5. And this is a game where they're both like maulers. This is going to be a battle in the trenches.
I'm taking the Titans all day long, just an FYI.
Yeah, well, and listen, a couple of weeks ago I did that. I think it was probably the bet of the season when I took the Titans to go into Arrowhead and cover the number. Probably the best bet of the season. But I'm not going to do that this time. Derrick Henry has been struggling a little bit recently. He's not putting up the same numbers. The Titans don't put up run production. Like, they don't actually put stats on the board and scores on the board. I don't think they've scored more than 24 in a game all year. The Eagles need this more because of the depth of their division, and they're at home. Titans are going to cruise. They're going to cruise to 11 wins or whatever, win the AFC South, host a playoff game. I think it'll be a tight game. I wouldn't be shocked if it was 21-17. I wouldn't be shocked if it was 24-20. But I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to take the team I think that's a little bit better, a better quarterback, more desperate for a win, and at home. Checking those boxes, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's December now, and King Henry is about to run rampant. This guy is going to go off for 130 yards this week. 130 yards against that putrid Philly run defense. I'm telling you. Not only is Tennessee going to cover the number, I'm actually sprinkling a little money line on this one, buts.
Ooh, look at you. You're getting confident for Tennessee outright. Look at you, a big Mike Vrabel guy. Listen, it's a tough game. It is a tough game. I think the game that you guys are going to have to bet on here is a tough game as well. Which one are you playing here again? Is it Niners-Dolphins?
Yeah, we got the Niners-Dolphins. We got San Francisco 3.5.
At home
the number there.
Against Miami. Niners laying 3.5. It kind of has a similar feel, like two good teams, winning teams, history with these two coaches. Who do you like, Al's brother, and why?
I'll be honest with you. So I was chatting with Luke about this. So we're a little split. We are a little split on how we feel about this game. But based off of the shenanigans that went down last weekend.
We're not going to
the polls. I'm
going to
make the exec. What are you saying?
No, not going to the polls. You're going to make the executive call.
I'm making the executive decision.
Good for
and that. I'm gonna go with the San Francisco 49ers. Luke feels like Miami's going to go out there and dummy him. But let's be honest here. Miami, it just can't happen. And Miami's, they're going to be without their starter right tackle. They're going to be without their prize left tackle, who's doubtful, Teron Armstead, against Nick Bosa. Good luck to Tua. You better get that ball out in 0.3 seconds. That Niners defense has not allowed a second-half point in four straight games, fellas. Four straight games. That's unbelievable. And despite clouding on Jimmy G, all he does is win. Mm-hmm. And this is a top 10 defense. They've been able to run the ball well. They're past the ball well. They're incredibly balanced. And one thing, who's the coach in Miami, Brian?
Shanahan, yes.
No.
In Miami, it'd be Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel, of course, McDaniel, in Miami, yes. Yeah.
But young, where did he come from?
He was Shanahan's guy. Yes,
Shanahan's
San Fran.
Guy. And the old saying, I taught you everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know. And you're telling me that the student's going to beat the master?
What a
lie. I just don't see it happening.
Wow.
Laying the points with the Niners.
Yes. That's what you got to do. I just need JP to clip that. I just don't see it happening. And this might be the beginning of
this
the end.
This is it.
Like that, because that was the line at the start. That was the line at the start of the year when you chose, wasn't it Detroit over Seattle?
Well, Seattle were the biggest frauds of all time.
Oh, that's what it was. And yeah,
I think it was last year when I said I can't see a win on Houston's schedule.
Yes,
I said I don't see it happening, and they won Week One.
They won Week One. That's right. Last year's in the past. That was a tough year for you, Al's brother. But
yeah,
this what I love to hear is that Luke thinks Miami's going to dummy the Niners. Not close. Maybe they backdoor a cover. Like, this is a big divide. You're convinced the Niners win big, clearly, if they're laying 3.5. And what you just said about sprinkling on Tennessee, it sounds like Luke's going to put a little sprinkle on Miami outright. This could be the beginning of the end.
I don't know, boys. Last week we went with his gut. We ended up going with the Bucks. I wanted the Browns.
Now we're going with the assistant GM's philosophy, and I like that.
Okay.
It's crazy to say I like that a little bit more.
I like it. Okay. All right, the Sunday nighter, the Colts again on primetime. The reason this game isn't getting flexed into the CFL schedule is because they're playing the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are at home laying 10.5. And I'm not going to overthink this. I can't bet on Jeff Saturday again. I mean, last week with the timeouts, it was a feel-good story early. The Colts are done. The Cowboys are going in one direction. The Colts are going in the other. I think this could be a 31-10 beatdown. I'll lay the points, Dallas at home.
I mean, I'm a Colts guy. You know I'm
a
Colts guy.
Yes, I know
guy.
You are.
Yeah. My heart is telling me that the Colts can make this a close game, and I hope that's the case. They do have one of the best defenses in the NFL. It's underrated. Fifth against the pass, and against the run, they're pretty stout too. The third best on the road in terms of yards per carry. So if they can limit Zeke and Tony Pollard and keep it short, keep it a low-scoring game, I think they could cover the number. 67% of the smart money on the sharp money coming in on the Colts, by the way, and they have covered five straight road games against teams
Matty
with a winning record. So
Matty Ice.
I like it.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, hey, you guys like everything you're getting. I don't blame you. The way I'm seeing the board right now.
It's a low-scoring game. Ultimately, I think it'll be a low-scoring game, and then a low-scoring game to cover double digits.
24-10. As I'm looking at 24-10, just like last night. That's what I'm thinking, Al's brother. All right, good luck, Al's brother. I'm sure I'll hear from you at about 1:01 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Looking forward to it.
Group text.
Yes, there he is. Al's brother representing Luke's brothers, who are on a bit of a heater right now. I'm on a bit of a cooler, but there's a lot of time left for us to figure this out, so I'm not overly concerned at all. It's only week 13. Week 13 in the NFL. It's all good. All right, the Leafs are in Tampa tomorrow, and we had the chance to catch up with John Cooper. We do this about once a year. It's always great to catch up with John Cooper. And began by asking him simply, you know, how's the team feeling? What's going on down there? And he took it from there.
It's actually going okay here. We're a different team, but a good group of guys, good core. And I don't know, we're kind of growing together. So it's been kind of a fun year. We haven't come sprinting out of the gates, but we did start 1-3, and we've rallied since then. So it's just it's been different. It's, you know, we won the Cup I think 17 months ago, and we have more guys on our team, our roster, that have not won it with us than have won it with us. So it's been different, but it's a good group of guys and fun to coach.
When you say growing together, Coop, like, what do you mean? Does that mean you guys do a bunch of team stuff on the road, or just on the ice, you know, growing and learning, or what does that mean?
Like, well, the stuff off the ice hasn't been able to happen at all. Like, because we, usually in training camp, you know, when we kind of break, we make most of our cuts, and then we take the guys down to Naples, and we go there, and, you know, we still are working and stuff like that, but we kind of mix it in with a couple games against Florida, but we let the guys bond a bit. But that got derailed this year because of the hurricane that came in. And so we had to take the whole training camp to Nashville and brought everybody's families and stuff like that. So it was a little bit trying. And then, but the difference is, like, we have a lot of different players. So we look at, you know, just on the back end alone, you know, we lost Jan Ruda, Ryan McDonough, you know, Zach Bogosian missed the first 20 or 18 games because of, you know, his injury. And so we just basically had a really new decor. And, you know, then we've, the like, just a little bit of some of the new guys up front, and we haven't had Tony Cirelli all year. So it's just kind of been, like, guys have been cast into some different roles. And so it's been interesting. It's been interesting to have the new guys, and, you know, I think maybe a little bit intimidated coming in, you know, just because of the success we've had. And but they've been outstanding. And so, like, once again, like, our GM did a great job, you know, bringing in some players. And it's just been a different group. But like I said, they've, you know, willing to learn and been battling. And so it's been good.
How have you been able to manage kind of the ups and downs and maybe the inconsistencies with the new group? You mentioned you start 1-3. Was it, you know, with the experience you've had, with the winning you've had, were you able to kind of just sit back and let it unfold? Or did you have to kind of get the cattle prod out a couple times and get the guys going?
I would say the latter. It was definitely a bit of that. But we played, you know, the opening night, we played the Rangers, and it was a big night at the Garden. We played them in the playoffs, and we just were like, it's just different because you just go from the high of the playoffs, which ended up being a low at the end. And we just, you know, there was a lot of, well, we played a lot of hockey, and mm-hmm. you know, we had to talk to the guys about that's the point. We want to. And there was a whole bunch of guys in the room that were, like, hanging on saying, we want to be a part of what has gone on here the last few years. And it does. It, like, these guys have, you know, if I put myself in their shoes and, you know, I just stand there behind the bench, like, I think at some point somebody told me in the last three seasons, you know, the players have played 73 playoff games, more than, you know, teams that have missed the playoffs. And that's almost a full season, you know, in the last 3 years they've played in playoff games. So, you know, I had to give these guys a little bit of leeway, a little bit of breath to find their way here. And slowly but surely we have. And it's the one thing that keeps us going. We got, like, our core guys have a lot of pride, and they want to win. They want to continue what we've been doing for years. They don't want to take a spring off. And, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit more difficult in October and November, but they've found a way. And like I told them, we're already in December, and before you know it, Christmas is going to go through, and then it's going to be that dogfight to make the playoffs. And so we're, like I said, the group's fully come together, and you know, hopefully we can get Cirelli back here soon.
With John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Leafs in Tampa tomorrow night, it sounds as if really the poking and prodding, it's psychological, John. Like, you got to keep everyone, the new guys realizing what's at stake, the older guys who have been there, make them remember what it means to get to the top of the mountain. How about yourself? Like, do you find yourself kind of reinventing yourself or coming up with new tricks of the trade? How often do you feel like you need to personally turn over a new leaf?
So this is my 10th full year with the group. And I think to be a part of something we've had for so long, you do have to reinvent yourself along the way. And so I've been trying to grow in different ways, and whether it's people I bring in to help, whether it's new assistant coaches, whether it's literature I'm reading, whatever it is, like, you're always trying to grow. But to be honest, it's gotten a little bit easier as we've gone, because just the core group we have, and it's, you know, we, at some point you're the coach and player, but all of a sudden it becomes, because we've been together for so long, like, you know, Stammer got his, you know, 1,000th point last night, and I don't know the exact number, but I bet you I've seen 700 of them from behind the bench. And so wow. That's how long we've been together. And don't quote me on that number, but I bet you I'm fairly close. And Hedy, and you go down the list, all of a sudden Cooch is, you know, Cooch is not a rookie in this league anymore. He's been around and point, and we just have this core group that we all understand each other. And when the train starts kind of going off the tracks a bit, you know, I know what to do to put them back on, and they know what to do to get themselves back on as well. So it's probably been, you know, the fact that we have had this group that stayed together, and still most of those guys are in their prime. So it's, I don't know, it's been a great group to be with.
You mentioned Stamkos. How has he evolved? It seemed like earlier in his career, Coop, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but he was dying to be in the same breath as Crosby and Taze, and that seemed to take up a bit of oxygen for him. And so sometime down the line, he just said, screw it, I'm going to play. And it's been damn good for the last 5 years, hasn't it?
It really has. And so it's interesting with him, because we have been together for so long. So, you know, 2013, that was, I can't remember exactly. It was the year before, or the year before that, he just had scored 60. And so he was kind of, you know, he was this young gun in the league that was scoring goals. And he had guys like Marty St. Louis and Vinny LeCavalier and a list of other guys playing ahead of him that kind of were bringing him along. He was just the young kid on the block. And, you know, I've watched him go from single guy to married, kids, father, family man, you know, and you've watched his growth in leadership and all these things happen. And, you know, then what he had to go through and some of the injuries he's had, you know, the big one he had in Boston and in 2013, I think it was, and then the other one in Detroit where he lost a lot of time and still found his way to come back and play at an elite level. And then we, you know, go to the bubble. He plays 2 minutes of one game in the entire playoffs and then comes back with a vengeance the next year. And so he's had a lot to like struggle through, but he's found a way to do it. And so he's been, it's been impressive to watch him and just to watch his maturity, like just within our locker room, how he's grown. It's, like I said, it's been pretty cool to watch. And he's got to marvel at him sometimes because he's, you know, in his 30s now and 1,000 points. That's a lot of points. And you don't see any signs of him slowing down.
With John Cooper, you guys are obviously in a division that's loaded as well. I mean, you've been the biggest part of that for years, going to 3 straight Cup finals. Obviously, up here in Toronto, we talk about the Leafs a lot, and they're on a real heater right now. The Bruins have been arguably the hottest and best team in the league. What does it say about your team that you guys have all this success, considering some of the powerhouses you continuously go up against every year?
Yeah, and like, especially last year, I think about when you know, you're fortunate enough to make the playoffs and make some runs. You just don't know. Like, some of winning a Stanley Cup too is you're catching breaks against teams that maybe had your number. And, you know, last year we played, I can't remember for sure, but we might've been the first team to have to play 4 teams in the playoffs that all had 50 plus wins. And so, you know, like, it's a grind to keep staying there, but these, you know, like I said, this core group have found a way and have a lot of pride, but it says a lot about, you know, Boston and Toronto and Tampa. Those 3 teams have kind of been the core of our division for years now. And then you've got Florida, who just was President's Trophy winners. And now if you look at, you know, Detroit, you know, paid their dues and now they're a hell of a team, and Buffalo and Ottawa have made great strides, have tremendous young players. You know, I feel bad for Ottawa. They lost one of their stars and the Norris kid that, you know, I just think, you know, that was probably a little bit deflating for them, but dangerous, dangerous team. And so you just go down the list and then you look at Montreal and what Marty's done over there, and all they do is win games and put, you know, the fear in the other teams when everybody was picking them to be at the bottom. So there's not an easy night in our division. And it's, It does it prepare you for the end of the year? Yes, but it sure puts the fear in you to, you know, thinking you might not make the playoffs because of how good they all are.
Well, we'll get you out of here with a question on Tom Brady, because now that he's a bachelor down there in Tampa, are you, any scoops on what he's up to these days down there? What's Tampa like with Tom Brady kicking around?
I don't know. You know what, to tell you the truth, I've never got to meet Tom Brady, so I've been to a few games. I got to run into Gronkowski a few times, who was a super nice guy, but Tom, he's a legend down here already, but I don't know. He's been to a few games, I've heard. Yeah, he stands up and sneaks into a suite and watches some games. So I've heard he's a Lightning fan, but we don't see him too often.
All right. Well, say hi if you ever do for us, please. And
I think there's a lineup of people that want to say hi to him now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's definitely the truth. Definitely the truth. Good luck tomorrow, John, and we always appreciate you doing this. Thank you for this.
Yep, you're welcome, and continue the great work, boys. You got a hell of a show there.
There he is, John Cooper, the head coach of the Lightning. 10 years on the job, won a President's Trophy. You've been to 3 straight Cup Finals, 2 Cups. Pretty good legacy down there. Pretty good legacy. Tell you what, if he ever became a free agent, that's your new barometer for like a guy getting paid and picking where he wants to coach and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that guy would. I mean, he makes bank as it is, but he'd be, we're talking double the salary, whatever he's making.
Yeah, but why would you leave? Like, well, you still got the core down there. Why would you leave?
Yeah,
and I don't think he's got any plans in doing that. We'll come back, look ahead to the weekend, get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. We'll do that next. All right, today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I like the Raptors outright tonight. I think they respond. I think they show up to play Friday night in Brooklyn. You're getting plus money on that. I'm on the Raptors tonight. Tough to beat the same team twice in a week, and especially to beat them by 2. I'll take the Ottawa Senators in New York with a half puck on top of that. You got to pay some juice, but I think they keep it within at least a goal tonight. Very degenerate-y type of vibe. And yes. I like Houston getting plus points against Cleveland. Like Deshaun Watson, I don't know what to expect out of this guy. Like, I'm not giving him a touchdown. In that environment, they're going to show up to play knowing what's at stake if you're the Texans. You're getting a touchdown at home. They're an awful team, but so are the Browns. I will lay the points. Houston at home on Sunday. Best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right. Well, Raptors tonight, Leafs tomorrow, NFL. Get the Hero World Challenge. I haven't really been following that.
The minute, you know, Tiger's out, people, that's it.
Yeah. Right? Golf in early December can be a tough sell.
Your boy Tom Kim's golfing his ball again. Guy's good, man. He is good.
Yeah. He's going to be a top 10 player for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying he might, like, be the next guy for a little bit.
I don't
know if he's got that kind of game, but he's good.
He's very good. Like, he's already won multiple times with, like, stacked fields. We'll see what he's got in a major, but I think he'll be there at Augusta, right? Will he be making his – I don't know if it's his debut or not, but he's punched a ticket.
Oh, yeah. He won in Greensboro, and he won in Vegas.
That's right. So, yeah, he'll be doing the tour, man. He'll be showing up in the majors, and that'll be Mike Weir's guy at the President's Cup in 2024. Tom Kim will be the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, we got an invite down there to tee it up down there. We got to take advantage.
I saw
of that.
There's somebody chirping you guys on Twitter. Somebody saying that, like, to invite you down. There was somebody else saying they've been challenging you for a while and you guys haven't responded.
Yeah, I mean, challenging us. Where these guys live in Australia. What are we supposed to do about that? You know, just take on any challenger at any course.
I'm telling you, though, President's Cup, us setting up shop like we did at the Canadian Open right above the 18th green at the President's Cup for overdrive. I'm all over it.
I agree. Yeah. September in Montreal. The Habs will be in camp. Absolutely.
But Hazy B and myself, we get to tee it on the course before play starts.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying.
Practice round or what?
Get to go out there and tee it before play starts, and we're in nobody's way. We'll be out of the way and let us do it.
You won't even know we're there. Yeah, that goes without saying for sure. Royal Montreal 2024. All right, so it'll be a fun weekend. We got a lot on the docket here. And the World Cup obviously continuing. We're out of the group stage. The real stuff begins tomorrow. U.S. playing the Netherlands tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Pulisic is going to play. Like he went to the hospital last match, and he's been cleared. He's going to be in the lineup and playing tomorrow. So good luck with that.
A lot at stake, though.
A lot at stake. Yeah, now it's do or die. What do you got? No more ties. Right? There's a final result starting tomorrow. So enjoy that. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at?
Say Panama. Every time I walk to my car, I take a dump in my pants. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.